Good morning.
Good morning.
So nice to see you this morning as we've gathered in the house of the Lord. So let's pray and then we'll stand and sing together. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are worthy of praise and worship. Lord, let everything, everyone who has breath praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your word that's true. We thank you for the impact that you have made on our lives through your word, through your Holy Spirit, through your presence. And Lord, we desire to worship you right here and right now. We pray, Lord, that you would be moving in our midst, in our souls, our lives today, that we could follow you with all of our heart. Strengthen our church. Help us to be about the mission that you've called us to do. And churches throughout this world that are busy meeting and worship today and busy serving you, that you'll help them to be effective and help us to be effective in that call. Bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing a medley of praise, beginning and ending with doxology. So would you stand and let's praise the Lord together.
Part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Take a few moments, wander around, and welcome your friends. Good to have you this morning. Thank you.
may be seated. This time we're going to sing a modern hymn of Psalm 150, Praise the Lord. So hope that you'll pick up on this quickly, and came out in some emails as well. Hopefully many of you were able to listen to this in advance, but if not, it's a simple tune and it's got great lyrics. So I hope that you will praise the Lord with us as we sing Psalm 150. Section, then please stand at that point as an act of worship, as we worship the Lord by singing, I stand in awe of you. Nothing ever seen more.
John, would you pray, please? Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful hearts, just thanking you for the outpouring of blessing that you've given to us as individuals, as a community, as a church. And we just pray that we would see what you've done for us and try to return just a portion back to you. And we pray this morning for all those people that are suffering today, for the deaths in our community. We pray that you be with the families and give them comfort they need. And we pray now that you would go with us during this time of the service, and we can give back just a portion of what you've so graciously given to each and every one of us. And we pray that these tithes and offerings will be used in the furtherance of your kingdom. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you so much, choir and Kevin, Karen and Daniel. My goodness, y'all, I watched from the side over here. Even Ken, when that was over, looked at the choir and went, what? Even Ken went, Man, that was really good. Oh, if you can't preach about praise, praise the Father. If you can't preach about praising the Father after that, I need to give it up. Man, that was awesome. Thank you, choir, Karen, Daniel, Ken. What a great, great word. What a powerful word for us now as we turn to Psalm 150. So Psalm 150 is the very last psalm. Go to the beginning of Proverbs and go back one. And it's not the last in this series. We've still got next week and we've still got the week after that. But I had to get to this last psalm because if you're going to do a study of the psalms, you got to get to Psalm 150 to see about what praising the Father really is all about, and how we, you know, make that a part of our, not just in the Sunday mornings, but a part of our daily life. I'm so thankful for Warren and Heather last week presenting to the congregation the mission trip, and that was fabulous. Obviously, I wasn't here, First Baptist Church, Russellville, but later on that evening, I was able to sit down in my recliner and watch it. And so what a great job. And I said to Warren and Heather this morning in our early worship, it's not just thank you for filling in while I was out. No. Thank you for all that they do for this student ministry and their gift of listening to the Lord. And at first they thought they were going to take the students to Peru. And then that kind of started falling apart. And then the student life then kind of sent them or started guiding them to Belize. Well, we saw that come to fruition as a church. We prayed about it with them. We gave. We financially supported. They did the mission trip and then able to come back to us as a church family and report that. And it was great. So I'm so appreciative of Warren and Heather for them putting together what they did. Last week, I was at First Baptist Church Russellville, where our former, the youth minister before Warren and Heather, Chase, a.k.a. Chaz, is the pastor of that church, and he asked me to come and preach the homecoming sermon. Y'all, it was just wonderful. Fabulous to be with Chase and with Kelly. Their three little children, to get to know them a little bit, because they had their oldest daughter, and I think within a matter of a month, I think she was about a month old when the Lord called them to Stowers Hill in Atala. So we just barely knew this little girl, and so to see her now. And to see the family, it was so good. And to see Chase leading that congregation and how much they love him and care for him, it was so great. Of course, their music minister is our very own Garrett Booth. We call him G Smooth, but you know, you can count on the fact that I told that congregation, if at least 10 people in this church are not calling them Chaz and G Smooth, After this day, I'm going to be very disappointed in y'all. So I've given them some new nicknames for their staff members. But Garrett, to watch Garrett Booth, who joined this church when he was about 4 or 5 years old, children's ministry, youth ministry, Ken's intern for years, now to see him leading this congregation in worship, it was absolutely fabulous. And it was when the choir and the praise team combined together were singing a special. Chase's wife, you remember Kelly, had an incredible voice. She was the solo, kind of like Daniel was here. And it was just so good. I leaned over to Janice. I said, "That's little Garrett Booth up there, honey, leading that." She said, "I know." And so just a joy to be with them and to be a part of that and to see how the Lord is using them in so many great ways. Psalm 150 is where we are today. John Bright wrote, "The predominant note in the book of Psalms is praise. In one form or another, the word praise appears 164 times, 13 times in Psalm 50 alone. The book of Psalms has been divided into five different books. Each book ends with a doxology of praise. In fact, the name of the book means songs of praise. Therefore, if we are to learn the language of faith, and hear what he just said here, if we are to learn the language of faith, which we all want to know the language of faith, if we're to learn the language of faith, then we must learn how to praise. Before we look at our text today, I want to offer just one or two brief conclusions. First of all, this: where there is no praise, there is no faith. Get that. Where there is no praise in the heart of the believer, where there is no praise in the heart of the believer, then there is no such thing as faith either. That is to say, that's a strong statement. I mean, that's a strong statement. I really believe that. That's true. All right, the point I'm making is that the two go hand in hand. They simply cannot live in the same live apart from each other in two different homes. They live together. Where there is no praise, there is no faith. So the Psalms, Karen and I were talking before we started. The Psalms begin with Psalm 1, where the psalmist says, "Oh, the joys of those believers who delight in the law of the Lord." So the psalmist is saying more than this. He's saying more than there's joy in knowing what the word says. No, he's saying more than that. Oh, the joy of a follower, a believer, for those of us in the new covenant who've repented of our sin, put our trust and our faith in our Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Oh, the joy of those who delight in the Father and everything about the Father. The Word being how He reveals Himself to us, those who delight in the Father. Oh, the joy that comes to the believer that delights in God. And then the psalmist ends with Psalm 150, where he just simply says this: everything. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. That is to say, the theology then of Psalm 1 will inevitably lead to the praise of Psalm 150. That is, faith produces praise. Secondly, praise is not a denial of reality. Ugh, that drives me nuts. Praise is not a bury your head in the sand and act like nothing bad is going on around you. Oh, absolutely not. Praise is not a denial of reality, because we have a lot of bad reality that we live through and live with. But it is a declaration of reality. So we're taught in the world that we live in to put on our negative glasses, to see the world with negative, oh, bad here, bad there, bad this, bad that. Before you know it, as believers, we might even actually utter this phrase: I just have nothing to praise the Lord for. That's when I start throwing stuff at people in my office. Are you kidding me? Oh, I just have nothing to praise the Father for. You've got everything to praise the Father for. And that attitude of negative, it's awful, it's terrible, becomes the attitude of sinners. But real praise doesn't deny the reality of our circumstances. It doesn't deny the fact that they're bad. This is bad. This is terrible. This is awful. What happened this week? What happened? I was talking with one of our young ladies during the hallway after Sunday school, and she's telling me what happened this past week, and we were talking about, man, that's terrible. It's awful. It doesn't deny the reality of terrible, bad, awful circumstances, but praise grows out of the recognition that there is a reality that is bigger and broader than our circumstances. It doesn't just focus on my circumstances, but it focuses on who the Father is in spite of those circumstances. So praise becomes the response to God and should be the predominant note in the life of every believer. So let's read the psalm. We'll go then and look at some of the specifics about it. Praise the Lord, he says. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise Him for His mighty works. Praise His unequaled greatness. Praise Him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise Him with the lyre and the harp. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and flutes. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Actually, let's go bigger than that. Praise Him with the loud clanging of cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praise to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we're going to real quickly answer the where, why, and the how and who questions on this text. First of all, where? Where should we praise the Lord? The psalmist says, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens. So praise is to be a part of our weekly worship when we're in the sanctuary. If we do not, on a weekly basis, as the body of Christ, whether it's early worship or late worship, that doesn't matter. If we do not recognize and articulate our conviction that God is great and that God is worthy of our praise, then we have not truly worshiped. So praise then and worship, that is at the heart of who we are as the body of Christ. And without that, we have not truly worshiped. I said this morning in early worship, and I'll say it again in this worship service, we as a congregation, we are blessed for many reasons to have Ken Patterson as our worship leader. But one of those reasons why we're blessed that we recognize today is the fact that we have a worship leader that gets that. Man, he gets it. He knows it. He understands it. It's not just words that come from his mouth on Sunday morning. It's the heart of this man out in his office on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. When he is leading and preparing us, he's preparing us for worship. Praise Almighty God the Father. And he gets that. And one of our men was talking to Ken and I both today, and he said, let me tell you something. I've worked with a lot of worship leaders. Not all of them get that. And we're blessed because we have a worship leader that leads us every week, whether it's this worship, it doesn't matter. This worship service, the 8:15, it doesn't matter if we've got a praise band or if we've got Karen on, none of that matters. It's just the body of Christ with a heart with worship, adoration, and praise of God the Father. But it's not just that. One of the things that I believe with all my heart is that Ken wants us as the corporate body of Christ to worship and praise God the Father on Sunday morning. But I also know that Ken wants that worship to spill over for me on Monday. And he wants that worship with my body, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to spill over on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. So it's not just this hour that we spend together, but it is also about my daily life, everywhere, everything, every day, praising the Lord. I'm telling you, you can tell when a brother or sister in Christ praises the Lord every day. It just comes out of them. And you can see it, and you can witness it, and you can be a part of it. And you can also tell when a brother or sister in Christ does not get it. Yesterday was a hot day. And I talk to you a lot about preaching the gospel to myself every day. And when I preach the gospel to myself every day, sometimes many on numerous occasions, but it always starts with worship and praise. It has to. It always starts with, Lord, today I worship you, I love you, I praise your holy name. I will not worship or praise anything or anyone other than you. I worship you and I praise you today. And more often than not, when my head hits the pillow at night, I preach the gospel to myself. Well, yesterday, I helped middle son move in this hot, blazing, terrible heat. Monday night, we were at dinner at the house, and Davis said, well, you know, Ben's going to be at the beach. Ben and Karen, the twins, are going to be at the beach Saturday, right? Yeah, I know that. Carson, I've already talked to Carson. Carson and I have already had words, and Carson's in Birmingham, lives in Birmingham now, so Carson can't be here. Carson's got something other than, you know, than to come help his you know, brother. So they had some things to talk about, you know. And he looked at me and he just said, "All right, cuz, you're up. You're on." And I was. It was hot and heavy furniture. It was terrible. It was awful. I mean, it was just absolute. But we do crazy stuff for our children. And so I had to help, and I was there and did it. Well, you can imagine by the time Jan Jan and I got home and showered and kind of relaxed a little bit, boy, we were ready for bed. So my head hits the pillow. And in typical fashion, I'm going to preach the gospel to myself. And all I remember of that moment was me just saying, "Lord, I love you." And that was it. I genuinely remember saying, "Lord, I just want you to know today that I worship you and I love you," and I don't remember anything else. Some people talk about, they say things like, "Oh, in my prayer life, I feel bad, I fall asleep. Don't you, you know, Joel?" No, not at all. Man, I'm cradled into the Father's arms. "Lord, I love you." And he just rocks me to sleep. How cool is that? "I love you, Lord. I worship you. I praise your name." Off to sleep. So it's more than just here. It's tomorrow. It's Tuesday. It's Thursday. It's Saturday. Even if you have to move in this heat, it's every day. "Lord, I worship you." Why? Why should we praise the Lord? The psalmist gives the answer. Praise him for his mighty works, and also praise him for his unequaled greatness. Klaus Westermann, who is a leading scholar on the book of Psalms, divides praise psalms into two categories: declarative praise and descriptive. Declarative praise declares a specific activity of God for which we should be thankful. Descriptive psalms describe a specific attribute of God for which we should be thankful. Both of these are found and reflected in Psalm 150, verse 2. Praise him for his mighty works, yes, but also praise him for his unequaled greatness. So we should praise God for what he has done. Oh my gosh, a preacher could go on here forever. Man, where's the time going? A preacher could go on, "I'm going to tell the church family from Genesis to Revelation all the great, great, mighty works that God has done." Well, we'd be here forever. You're sitting here today because he created you. You're worshiping here today because he's given you life through his Son. He's promised to never leave you or forsake you. He will hold your hand, discipline you, guide you, guard you, take care of you all the way through eternity. Is that enough? Okay, can we all agree? That's pretty good. But not only that, we praise God, we praise him for who he is. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son as my substitute. Whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life." We praise God for who he is. That's pretty good. Westermann writes, "The absence of praise in the believer's life is not a reflection of his or her circumstances. It's a reflection of their lack of faith. The absence of praise indicates either we do not know God as we should or we have an inadequate view of God." That's hard. Either way, it's devastating when a believer believes the world rather than the truth claim of Scripture. God is worthy of praise. How? Well, the psalmist gives us the answer in verses 3 through 5. So this psalm is a liturgy in worship. And a liturgy is, it's a ritual act of worship. So we don't do that here in the Baptist church. So those of you that grew up in some of the higher denominations, then you know liturgy and you know what a liturgist is. And so this is a liturgy, a ritual act of worship. And so I want you to put it in your head. So they start worship and it's nothing. As the liturgist reads this psalm, then it joins the chorus. So start with verse 3. We praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Now, as the liturgist reads that, the ram's horn then joins the chorus. All right, so now we've got the ram's horn, and it's starting to make sense now. The liturgist continues to read. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Now, the lyre and the harp join the ram's horn, so this thing's starting to get big. All right? Praise him with the tambourine and with dancing. So we know now, studying the Hebrew, that they were not Baptists. All right? So we know that, you Baptists, can y'all picture this? Join with the tambourine and dancing. Now people are in the sanctuary and they're dancing for the love. This thing's out of control. Then they say, praise him with the strings and the flutes. So now all of these instruments are joining the chorus. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. And I love how the psalmist then says, no, not just with the clash of cymbals, but praise him with the loud clanging of cymbals. So now we've got dancing, we've got lyres, we got harps, we've got ram's horns, we've got cymbals, and they're getting louder and louder, and people are dancing. And we've just got, they're just offering this whole thing up to the Father. And as the liturgist reads the next thing, it just continues to join the chorus until it's just gotten to the point to where finally the liturgist says, I tell you what, let everything that breathes, everything, praise the Lord. And then he ends with praise the Lord. So the psalmist was just simply using his unique way of worship. It's not good, it's not bad, it's not right, it's not wrong. It's just that was how they worshiped and how they joined the chorus. The psalmist then gave the answer to who? Well, everything and everybody. Paul says it this way, God is the one in whom we live and move and have our being. Westerman says, where do we turn to learn how to communicate with God? We turn to the book of Psalms, for it is here that we learn the language of faith. The first and last word of faith should be a resounding praise before the Father. Our lives should reflect praise to the Lord. So the gospel gives us life everlasting. The gospel gives us abundant life. The gospel gives us freedom from the condemnation of our sin. Therefore, we praise the Father for his amazing grace. Let everything today, tomorrow, Thursday, Saturday, let everything that has breath praise the Father. Father, thank you for that great word. Not let everything that has breath deny reality and praise the Lord. No. No matter what, let everything praise the Lord. So, Father, we're thankful. We're grateful for that proclamation today. Thank you for the gift of life in Jesus. For those of us who live in beyond the new covenant, we can see it even greater. Our vision is clearer. We can see you and what you've done for us. Life that you've given to us in the name of your Son, Jesus. So this psalm means so much more to us. Because we get it. We see it. So we're thankful, Father, that it's so much more than just an hour that we have together. But it's daily life. Praise to the one who's given us life. So let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Thank you for that gift. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The invitation that we're going to sing is More Precious Than Silver. If you've never trusted Christ, then we just encourage you to do that. Follow through. If you need to join our church, whatever the Lord leads you to do, decisions that you might need to make, do that as we stand and as we sing.
Precious than silver.
Please be seated real quickly before we head out. We had this morning Kobe and Lindsay Dozier joined our church family. They know Christ as Savior and Lord and have followed Christ in believers' baptism, been a part of our church family for a while now. Don't get her confused with her identical twin sister, which is exactly what I do and have done all this time. And so they come today joining First Baptist Church. So the next time that you see the Doziers, make sure that you say a word of encouragement to them coming to be a part of us. All right. You see out there on the grass, you see all the different big pieces of equipment that I think they're going to start this week, moving dirt and tearing down walls and that kind of thing. So then on Tuesday morning, we will be meeting with Chapman and Sisson on the fellowship hall and some of the things that they're going to recommend that we do as far as renovating the fellowship hall. So we're looking forward to that. We continue to need funds to do some of the things that we want to do on fellowship hall as far as that is concerned. So, all right. Then our women, this Wednesday night, we start back our fall schedule minus supper. We start supper back September the 3rd, but everything else starts back. One of the things that will start back is Aaron Miles leading a group of our women. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. Sign up on the Old Lord's Supper table. Starts this Wednesday night. Be a Man, small groups of Elliot Rowe. They already do Sunday nights at 6 o'clock in the lodge. Elliot Rowe will add a Wednesday night starting this coming Wednesday night as well. All right. Roy Bryant does Bible Study Fellowship. That starts Tuesday, September the 9th at 6:30 in room 204. If you want more information about that, see Roy Bryant. He'll give you that information. The next thing coming up is September the 9th, Western Dinner, Boston Butt Barbecue, featuring the Sons of the Pioneers. And so that'll be a fun night for you senior adults. All right, and sign up on the Old Lord's Supper table. And then Warren and the students are going rafting, and they're going to stay overnight August 31st to September the 1st. You can go to the